doesn't take long to figure out how fragile of a people we really are and how much in control God really is. Just thankful that we have a God. We serve a God like a God above all gods. Thankful that we serve Him, and that we can have a personal relationship. He cares enough for us that he sent His Son.
Yeah, right.
If it would have just been for you, Debbie,
yeah,
He'd have sent His Son. He'd have went through it all as He looked down through time for Debbie Bailey. And I'm thankful it can be for all, every one of us.
Amen. Yeah.
Glad we serve a God like that. All right. We have any prayer requests? Let's go ahead and go to prayer. Anybody have a spoken request?
Yeah, Ron, I've got a small issue there. I made a doctor appointment for Wednesday. I've been having some kind of just pain in the side of my face, in my ear, in my jaw, it'll be a little bit of a headache. Don't know what's going on. I mean, it's not enough to stop me from working or anything, but it's just a little bit annoying. So I called my doctor and said, hey, come in, find out what's going on. So he cares about the little thing.
Right.
And just remember that.
Amen. Amen.
Robin Miller wrote, he's not.
Okay.
Remember Ben Hale, too. She's still a lot of pain. I told her today she was just going to have to get tough.
Those you'd like to signify by an upraised hand. God knows what these requests are, what our the desires of our hearts are. So let's just carry those to the Lord in prayer. As Al preached this morning, important, very important that we pray, and we pray earnestly, and He knows our hearts. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you. testimonies? Pam? Come on up. Pam's going to be singing. She's got a special guest singer with her. It's funny you mentioned that. I thought about that not too long ago. I met Al at Sam's. I knew he was a preacher down here, and I just got to talk to him, told him we were looking for church. And did you remember? That's funny what you remember. Do you remember what you had in your hand when I saw you?
No. Don't tell him.
No, I'm not exaggerating either. It was a pizza, and it was about this big around. You remember that?
No.
It was a monster pizza. I wasn't sure what a Mexican was doing holding a pizza. I've heard of Mexican pizza, but this had, like, I think it had sausage and stuff on it. But anyway, in all seriousness, he was bragging on the church, and he was bragging what good teaching there was here, and we too are glad that we're here. We're thankful that that you folks have accepted us, and most of all, the Lord led us this way. It was at a time when we spiritually were starving to death. We really were. Our kids were young, and they were not getting taught well, and we just felt like it was time for us to leave where we were going, and it's been a great fit for us. But it's because the Holy Spirit's here.
Right.
It's because the Spirit of the Lord is here, and that's where I want to be. If he ever leaves, I want to go with him.
Yeah.
But hopefully he stays here, and we do too. All right. We're going to give it a try. Seen a sumo wrestler? All right.
For us. just one scarred head.
When
I can't stand, I have to lean, and when I can't see, I must believe. The great physician's touch is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand.
It's a just to give me grace, and to think a hand that holds the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. Is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. The great physician's touch is a balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand.
A beautiful, terrible cross where though you committed no sin, Savior, you suffered the most wicked fate on the cruelest creation of men. Yet on that beautiful, terrible cross, you did what only you could. Turning that dark, inspired evil of hell into our soul's greatest good. We see the love that you showed us. We see the life that you lost. We bow in wonder and still in control, as your perfect plan was fulfilled.
We see the love that you showed us. We see the life that you lost. We bow in wonder and praise you for the beautiful, terrible cross. We gain the riches of heaven.
Jesus,
you paid the horrible cross. We stand forgiven and praise you for the beautiful, terrible cross. For the beautiful,
just do a couple and that'll be it. But as it got closer time for church, this song came to my mind, and it reminded me the last two ladies Bible studies that we've had, the topic has been on prayer, and the topic of Pastor Al's sermon this morning was on prayer, and I don't think any of that is coincidence.
All right.
And I think the Lord's really trying to tell us that we need to get on our knees a little more, and we really need to bring things to him and trust him.
Amen.
To take care of it. And that's what this song talks about, is even though sometimes God says no, there's still a greater yes.
Greater, yes. There comes
Anybody else have a testimony, something you need to share?
Well, I want to thank the Lord for traveling, the race of Traveling Mercy. We've spent a lot of time on the road in the past week, driving to and from out of state. And a lot could happen on the road in that amount of time, right. And nothing did. And I just praise the Lord for it. There was a couple of times where, you know, people wondered where I was driving or wondered where she was driving, and, you know, we didn't want it to be that way. So God moved them around. Could have wrecked. A couple of times she opened her eyes, and she thought I was driving too close to somebody, so she didn't like that. But you know what? All the time, all I asked God for was safety. And I tend to forget to thank Him for those answered prayers. You know, we take for granted, Lord, give us traveling grace and mercy. And I get there and I don't thank you for it. Mm-hmm. Because He gave it to me all the way. I asked for it all the way back. And He gave it all the way back. And I just take it for granted. You know, that's what He does. That's what I do. I drive, He protects. But you know what? I should thank Him for that. Because somebody didn't make it home yesterday. I don't know who it was, but somebody didn't make it home. But I did. My whole family made it home. And I praise the Lord for that because it was a long drive and he was in control. I'm thankful that I can ask God those things and have the faith and belief and knowledge that He's going to do it, that He can do it. That whatever comes in front of me, that He can take care of. And I'm glad to serve a God that's that big and that's that in control and that's that powerful, but that watches over little old me. In this great big world, in this vast universe, and He has to make sure things don't mess up. He looks at my little life and takes care of me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that one day He asked me to you know, what do they call that on Facebook? When they ask you to be your friend. Friend request. One day God friend requested me.
I don't do Facebook.
He said, I don't need that. He said, Rob, would you become a member of my family? And I said, yes. And you know what? From that day forward, he's been my dad. He's been my protector, my father. He's been my savior. He's been my Lord. He's been my friend. All because I said yes to him. And because of that, He answers those prayers. Whether I think it's big or whether I think it's small, He always hears an answer. Just like Pam's saying about, no matter what, when I pray, He hears. And when I pray, He answers. Sometimes I don't hear it because I'm not listening for what He says. And sometimes I just don't like what He says. Because sometimes I disagree with Him. You know, y'all may never disagree with God. Sometimes I do. I want one thing and He gives me another. Or I want something and He doesn't give it. And I'm thinking, you know, somebody's wrong and somebody's right. I know it's Him. You know, He knows that I know that. But I'm just so thankful to serve the God that knows what's best. And
right.
Does what's best. Yep. And does it right on time. Does it right on time. Never early, never late. Right on time. I'm so thankful that I serve that kind of God, that big of a God, that loving of a God, but that small of a God that He's right here inside me. I'm just thankful that all that driving we did, that everything was fine.
Amen.
I don't know that I've ever stood and thanked Him for that safety, because every year I ask Him for it. Every year we ask Him for it, and every year He gives it. But not everybody made it home, but we did, and I'm thankful. That God protected us and watched over us and all the dumb things. You know, one time a car would go in front of me and she was asleep and she opened her eyes and she about jumped through the window. And I said, I didn't move, he did. I just kept my same speed. She thought I should back up a little bit though. But you know what? He just moved out of the way. I didn't back up. But I'm thankful that God, in His little hand, right in between the two of us, because she said, you know, if he hits his brakes, we're right there in the back of him. And you know what? Dummy me, didn't back up when I should have. In life, I've made a lot of stupid choices, a lot of dumb moves, but God protected me through them all. And I'm thankful for that God, that even in my good times and my bad times, Ron, He's always there.
Right.
When I'm happy, when I'm sad, He's always there. When I'm on the mountaintop, or when I'm in the valley, or if I'm climbing up, or if I'm sliding down, He's always there. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never not been right beside me, never not been with me. And I'm thankful for that. Through my dumb choices and my dumb mistakes, when I should have moved and I didn't, or when I shouldn't have moved and I did, God's always been there for me. And I love Him for that. And I thank Him for that.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, you're wrong.
something you said or you did was effective to somebody else. And it's good to hear those things, but we don't want to get caught up in them because we don't want to get so caught up in ourselves. But I'm just so thankful that God can use anybody if they're willing to be used.
Amen.
When my kids and their cousins were singing years ago, there was a song that we taught the kids to sing. And that song, of all the songs they had, they sung, this song stays with me all the time. And when I'm at the lowest, or when I feel like I have been a failure, I can still sing this song. So forgive me if I don't sound perfect. But it goes like this. Jesus, my Lord, I love you. Jesus, you're all I need.
Amen.
Jesus, I'll tell the world, oh my Lord, you're so good to me.
Amen.
Through sunshine or rain, your love stays the same. From now till the end, you'll be my best friend. Jesus, my Lord, I love you.
cast all your cares upon him.
Yeah.
Because he cares for us. All right, anybody else? I thought of Kip Leaptrot this week. I was out of town and had I was sitting in traffic. You've heard, you know, Kip testify about, you know, if you get stuck in traffic, you know, it may be the Lord protecting you some way, somehow. So, and I thought about Kip this week. I think it was Thursday. I was out of town. I had a load of hogs on my trailer, and of all things, I pulled over to get me a bite to eat, and when I went to pull out, here come a house trailer, you know, down. So I'm like, well, okay. But it was moving right. We got up to the interstate, and I thought, well, he's going on. He had to make the turn to get on, and he got stuck. And there I sat, and I was that close to getting frustrated, and I think what Kip has said come to mind. And I thought, you know what? The Lord may be keeping me from something up the road. So I just sat there and kept my peace. And it was just a little bit. It took a little while for him to finally get it straightened out. And on he went. And I had a safe journey home. And I'm the same way. You know, I pray for safe traveling mercy, especially when we're, you know, when I'm going out of town. And the Lord never fails. He never fails. And as Kip often says, you know, when things happen and you get stopped, you might want to thank the Lord. He may be protecting you from something. All right, anybody else? All right. Brother Trent, you come. Virgil, would you ask God's anointing upon the message this evening?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have heard this evening, the testimony and song. Now we're going to hear your word, Heavenly Father. We pray for Trent. We ask your blessings upon him, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Help him to be calm and be himself, and that you will bless him, and may your word, Heavenly Father, come forth.
Amen.
Challenge each and every one of us. Yes. Father, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you endured the cross.
Right.
We thank you that the blood that you did shed cleanses us from all sin. We thank you, we praise you, because your glory is higher in the heavens. We ask you, Lord, to undertake in a great and mighty way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. No, I'm just kidding. Good evening. I tell you, it was a good place to be this morning, though. You know, it was the contemporary service on the other side, and I've never really had a bad service here in this church, but some services are just better than others, and this morning was just really good for me. You know, it was me and Mom and Taylor had to get here a little bit early just to kind of set some stuff up because the Bumpuses were on vacation, and they usually do that for the contemporary service. And so we got there early, and it was probably 5 minutes till 10. And there was just me, Taylor, and Bree in there. It didn't seem like anyone was going to show up, and the band was all practicing. And I'm like, well, Taylor said, we've already heard all these songs. Do we really need to sit here and listen to them again? As if it's just for us, you know? She didn't mean she didn't want to hear them, but we'd already sat there and heard them, you know. And but then it just within 5 minutes, by 10 o'clock or 10:05 or so, there was all kind of people in there, and it just felt good. It was a lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while, and that I enjoyed being in church with, and it just felt good. And then before we left the house tonight, we were feeding the dog, and it was kind of funny, you know. Our dog's a little bit old; she's a small dog, probably about 11 years old or so, and that's kind of old for a smaller dog, I guess, and you know, it's got a lot of weight on it, I think, but it seems to always be hungry. No matter, it just thinks it's hungry all the time. It's just getting up there in age, and it doesn't really realize it doesn't need to eat anymore. But it goes crazy when we give it food in the evenings in its little bowl, and it ate it all, and it had knocked the bowl over on its side, and it was licking the outside of the bowl, and Luke said. The food was so good it was licking the outside of the bowl or something like that. And that's exactly how I felt this morning. You know, it was just so good this morning. If God was giving me food in a spiritual dish, it was so good this morning and this evening that I'm just looking on the outside of the bowl. It was that good. But we'll go ahead and get started with the message here. You know, you guys have already, it's been a good place to be for me because you guys, through your testimonies and the things you said, have already hit on most of what this message is, and that makes me feel good that I have. Sometimes you never know what to preach on, and you're concerned whether you're preaching on the right thing, and the Lord just kind of gave me some assurance this evening that this is what we need. And so if you would turn to Psalm chapter 44, you guys have already hit on most of it. You know, being humble and thanking the Lord for everything that He does for us. Sometimes we forget to do that. And so if you would, chapter 44 of Psalms. And then also, somebody had testified about asking for God's help. Sometimes we wait a little bit too long to ask for His help. So we'll hit on all that this evening. This, you guys' testimonies have already hit on most of what this message is about. So Psalms chapter 44. And this is a psalm by, my Bible says it's a psalm by the sons of Korah, which were temple assistants. And it's kind of a psalm, they're feeling weak and defeated. And they're kind of, this is a psalm of a plea to the Lord, help to the Lord. So we'll start in verse 1 here. It says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them." And we'll keep going, but just to stop right there, verses 1 through 3 here, it's just kind of referring to the book of Joshua. They're talking about, you know, in the people of Israel were told to go into the land and drive out anybody opposing to God or that was in the land. And the main point of these three verses here, they're acknowledging what God did for them throughout all that time. And they're acknowledging that it was nothing that they did. It was not their sword or their arms. It was Him that guided them throughout all this and allowed them to conquer those nations or drive them out. And they're acknowledging the victory, that there would not have been a victory without God. And throughout everything that they were going through, they're being humble. And they're recognizing that if it wasn't for Him, they would not be where they are right now. And, you know, that when I was reading through this, you know, that really got on to me because, you know, when I was applying to go to PA school and stuff, and you know, I was pretty humble at that moment. I knew that there was no chance of me getting in unless the Lord wanted me in, and the Lord opened up the eyes of the interviewers to make them think that they should accept me into the program. I knew that at that time there was nothing that I could have done at that point as a freshman to get in. I just didn't have all the qualifications. And but then after I got accepted, it's been a few months, and when people through work, you know, they patients and other coworkers I have, they'll ask me, you know, what are you studying or what are you going to be doing as a career? And I tell them that I recently got accepted or whatever, and naturally, as humans that aren't Christians, they don't give God credit for things just because that's not the way that they believe, and it's not natural. Even for us as Christians, sometimes it's not natural for us to give God the credit. Sometimes we like to credit ourselves. And after I had got accepted and everything, I was still humble, and I was really thankful that the Lord had done that for me. But throughout these past few months, you know, whenever I tell a patient or a coworker at work, when they ask me that question, I'll tell them that their first thought is that it's something that I did. That they said, "Wow, you must have good grades to have gotten in that earlier. That they must really have liked you or whatever. You must have really done it in your interviews." And you know, and I try to stay humble throughout all that. And then the more that you hear that, from people, that starts to make you start to believe that stuff. The more that you hear those things, and so these verses really got onto me, and it reminded me that there was absolutely nothing that I did. When I sit down and think about how the interview went and how all that went, there was nothing that I did. It was all the Lord. And but this just kind of caught my eye with these verses, because they were giving God the praise for what they had accomplished. And it would have been easy for them to start to think, "Wow, we really did a good job on what God asked us to do." without giving him the praise for what he did for them. And it was kind of the same for me here. The more that we hear, I was hearing from these people that, oh, you've done a good job, you've done this. You know, I was starting to get distracted and forget that the Lord really did all that for me. And you know, there was a story that I was reading about. I had read about Ronald Reagan, and this is kind of a funny story, but he was given, when he was just the governor in California, he was given a speech to Mexico City, and he went through his speech and everything, and there wasn't really much of an applause from the crowd, and he was kind of a little bit embarrassed about it, that they must not have liked what he was saying. And so when he went back to sit down, the next speaker came up and started speaking, and of course he was speaking in Spanish or whatever they would be speaking, and the crowd was giving huge applauses like every 5 minutes or so, or after every paragraph. And so he started joining along with them, you know, just clapping with the crowd. And then the ambassador that was sitting alongside of him, he kind of nudged him and said, "I wouldn't clap if I was you. He's interpreting your speech." It would have made him look like that he was clapping for himself and being prideful in himself. So what I mean by telling that story is, you know, he was kind of going along with what everybody else was doing. He didn't know what was going on, and he just started clapping right along, and he started praising himself. And it looked like he was praising himself without him meaning to. And it's kind of the same way for me, my example that I gave you about myself. You know, I was just, the more that I was hearing what they were saying, the more that I kind of started going along with them, with what they were saying as well, and even starting to praise myself for having pride in what God did for me without giving him the praise for it first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whenever God does something for you, you know, it's easy, because when the world hears about what good has happened to you, they'll think that it maybe is something that you did or somebody else has done. But always remember that it's God that allows us to good things to happen for us, and don't ever forget to give him the praise. I know that a lot of the testimonies tonight have been about that being humble and thanking him for the things that he's done. As Rob said, that the testimony about safe travels, you know, it'd be easy for him to say, "Man, I did a good job driving on 16 hours of Florida and back." But in reality, when you think about it, we're just not that good. We're not that good to be able to accomplish those things. And if it wasn't for the Lord, you know, a lot of the stuff that we accomplished wouldn't really happen.
Amen.
But we'll go to verse 4. It says, "Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me." So verse 5 is kind of saying, you know, we'll have success through his name, not in our own name. It says, "Through thee will we push down our enemies." You know, they're kind of acknowledging that the only way that they would defeat these enemies is if he would help them. And then verse 6, it says, they're not going to trust in their own bows or their own sword. That's not what's going to save them. It says, verse 7, it says, "But thou hast saved us from my enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Salah." So, and that caught my eye there. "In God we boast all the day long." You know, sometimes we think of that word boast, you know, it's really not something that we want to be considered doing, is that we boast on ourselves or boasting on other people. But in the Lord, it is a good word to use. Boasting for God's sake, talking about what God's done for you. And not boasting in a way, the negative way that we think of it, but boasting as in praise, praising God for everything that he's done for us, and giving him all the credit for what he does, and telling other people how awesome the things that he's done for you and how you couldn't have done that without him. That gives them the encouragement that whatever they're going through, that he may do the same for them, or he can do the same for them. That gives them that confidence. And we need to boast on the Lord, because if we don't, nobody else is going to, because that's just not natural for them. And for us to have witnessed those things and to understand that God has done stuff for us, we're the ones that have to be the ones that tell other people what God's done. Because nobody else is going to tell them what God does unless the ones that have experienced it tell them that. So, and then at the end of verse 8 there, the word says Salah. There are probably different pronunciations of that, but that's just one of them that I had read about. It was Selah. And there's a lot of controversy over that word and what it really means. I don't think it's a really big deal, but I was watching some YouTube videos about it, some scholars that had done some research on it. And it was interesting to me. You know, there's different definitions. One of them was, you know, just that it's a break in the song and that they're going to maybe a count of music, because most of these are songs, and it was just a break in the song. There was a little music solo, and then they would go on to the next part, or that it was maybe it means forever. And then, but it's interesting because that word doesn't have its set definition in the Hebrew language, and the theologian, I guess you could say, that I had watched on YouTube was talking about it, and he was saying that this was just his proposition on where that word came from, because it's not nobody really is completely sure how that word gets put in here, and there's no definition, set definition for it. And it was a lot of the Psalms are written by David or accredited to David being the writer, and we all know, and he was saying that we all know for a time there that David was on the run from Saul, and at the time, he this is just from his video, he said that that David was living with being around some of the Philistines at that time when he was on the run and hiding from King Saul. And he said that it's possible that, you know, just similar to the way that our music, if you understand music, most of the words in music are Italian, and we still use those Italian words to in our music writing and to mean certain things, as in like forte means loud, and that's an Italian word, stuff like that. We still use those words, even though that's not our English language. And he said his proposition was it's possible that whenever David was over there in that land, whenever he was writing certain music or certain songs, that he may have picked up that word as one of their words and used that as just like we use an Italian word in our music. So that's just a thought to think about. I thought that was really interesting, and the Lord had allowed me to see that video before I came here, so I just thought maybe I'd share that. But that's just a thought on where that word comes from. But mainly, in this situation here, I think it's just a word to show that, you know, that's the end of that segment of this song. I'm moving on to the next part and kind of changing the thought process here. And even the next word is but. So he goes through what he's saying here. He's praising God, and then he says but. So he's kind of changing things around here. So, but thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our enemies. Thou makest to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. So what's kind of going on here? He's saying, you know, in their situation right now, you know, God has done all this. He first thing in this song, he acknowledges what all God's done for them, for the Israelites and for them. But then he says, but then he talks about what's going on right now. And he's like, it seems as if right now that you're not here with us, that you're not. In verse 11, it says, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat. And the appointed for meat meaning intended for slaughter, but my Bible defines that as. So if you think about sheep, you know, they don't take care, you know, they need a shepherd to watch over them. But when it comes time for the slaughter, the shepherd gives them up for that, and there's no more protecting them at that point. So what they're saying here is they feel like they're not protected right now. They feel like God has given them to the enemy here, and they're not being protected. And it says that they're scattered among the heathen. They're just scattered about. They don't feel protected. Almost as if it's a sheep given for slaughter. The sheep's unprotected. They're just giving up here. That's what they feel like. Not that they really believe that, but they're just kind of singing this to the Lord, saying that this is how we feel in this moment. And then we can go to verse 17, and it says, all this has come upon us, yet we have not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. So verse 17 is saying, even though all this is going on, even though it feels like you're not protecting us, we haven't forgotten you. We haven't forgotten you, and we haven't went against the covenant, thy covenant. So what they're saying is, even though all this is going on, and it doesn't feel like you're here, it would be easy for us to kind of try to find our own way to get through all this and try to get away from maybe putting our faith in you because it doesn't seem like that you're helping us. But they're saying that's not what they did. They continued their faith. Their faith was still in him, but they're really getting desperate at this point. They really are really wanting the Lord to intervene. So verse 19, it says that though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. So, back to verse 20 there, they're saying, if we would have forgotten the name of God throughout all this, what good would that have done for us to try to find our own methods of trying to get through this? Because the Lord would have saw what they're doing. He would have saw that their faith no longer in him. And he would have saw that they're trying to find their own ways. And it wouldn't have done any good for them. Because as verse 21 says, he knoweth the secrets of the heart. So if he would have known if they would have given up their faith in him. And it would have been hard for him to try to help them if their faith's not in him. If they're asking for help, but their faith is not in him, then what good does it do to ask somebody for help if you don't think that they can really help you? And so that's what they're saying here. They're saying, we've kept our faith. And what good would it have been for us to not keep our faith? Because you know the secrets of our heart. You would have known if we really mean what we're saying here. And then it says in verse 23, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? And arise, cast us not off forever. And obviously they were saying, we know that the Lord's not gone from our lives. We know that the Lord's still here in this situation, but it just seems like he's asleep. It seems like to them, it felt like he was asleep. He wasn't really moving in any certain way that was noticeable to them. That doesn't mean he wasn't moving, but to their eyes, it didn't seem like he was moving. And it seemed to them like he was asleep. And a lot of times, you know, there's situations in our lives that it can feel that way. Maybe where things are going on or situations, you know, like mom's testimony, something's going on between things that, and you just think, why isn't God stepping in here? Or it might seem to us that God's asleep in those situations. Why isn't he doing this thing? Why isn't he doing anything to stop this? But a lot of times God will appear that way to us. God will appear that it may seem to us that he's asleep because he's wanting our faith to grow. He's doing that so that our faith will grow in him, so that when he does come through and allow things to work out for us, then we're like, man, I don't know why I even doubted him, right? I don't even know why I would have thought that he wasn't doing it, wasn't and already doing stuff and setting things up for me. And so then we'll continue on here. It says, wherefore hidest thou face, in verse 24, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. So, and you know, verse 25, that verse really stood out to me as well. It says, for our soul is bowed down to the dust, and our belly cleaveth unto the earth. So what they're saying here is that they are 100% humble in this situation. They are bowed completely down. They don't want any of themselves to be in the way. They just want to talk straight to the Lord here, and they're saying, we don't want to be leaning on ourselves in this situation. We don't want to try to find our own ways to get through this. We really need your help through this time. And they're being extremely humble in this situation. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes maybe we're not all the way humble, and maybe God's waiting for that. Sometimes if we're in a situation and we maybe say, oh, Lord, help me with this, but then we're trying to find our own way to get through it, we're not being completely humble and getting ourselves out of the way to allow the Lord to take control. And that verse 25 really, really stood out to me, saying that for our soul is bowed down to the dust and our belly cleaveth into the earth. So they're just totally bowed down here to the Lord, saying, please help us. And a lot of times if a situation isn't working out for us, that's really our last resort. I mean, it should be our first resort, but our last resort sometimes is we've tried everything we can do, and now we're just finally going to bow down to the Lord here. But in reality, if we would just be completely humble in the first place and bow down and just say, Lord, help me with this, it would be so much easier on us. It would be so much easier on maybe those around us that have watched us suffer through this, through those times. So we should be sure that we're being humble and going to the Lord first with our problems. Just to kind of, summarize what's going on and throughout all this, we should give all of our praise to God when He does something for us. As they said here, they were not going to trust in their own bow or their own swords. And in verse 3, it says, For thy got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but it was thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou had a favor unto them. Amen. So we should give praise to the Lord when He does something for us. As I gave my example, when it first happened, I was definitely giving praise to the Lord, and I was very humble. And then as time goes on and other people who aren't maybe Christians start talking to you or say things that they don't really mean to lead you away, but it'll still lead you away. We shouldn't forget what the Lord does for us, and make sure that we give Him the credit, because if we don't, a lot of times whenever we do something for somebody, we don't necessarily do it to get the praise from it. But if that person never says a thank you or never acknowledges what you've done for them, you're not going to be as likely to do that for them again, just because they're not thankful for you and they don't appreciate maybe what you've done. And I sometimes think about that as far as my parents go. They're always going to love me. They're always going to want to do things for me. But maybe if I thank them for what they've done, or I acknowledge that they've really done that for me, maybe they're going to be more likely to do that for me again. For example, dad worked 12-hour shift today, didn't get off till 6 or 6:30, but he still showed up just in time to come and hear me. And that really means something to me. It's not Father's Day yet, but he's always done that throughout my whole life, and he's always worked long hours, and he's always tried to be there for me. And if I don't thank him for that, maybe he would get discouraged by that and think that he's done all this work. He's worked a 12-hour shift and came here, and I didn't appreciate that. And I do appreciate that. And it's the same way for the Lord. He does a lot of stuff for us that sometimes we don't acknowledge, and that we don't thank him for. And we should always be sure to thank the Lord for the stuff that He does. And then just to move on here, sometimes it can feel like God's asleep. If they would come get a song, I don't know who's getting the song, but sometimes it may feel like God's asleep in situations in your life. And but he's never asleep. He's always watching what's going on. He's always there for you. He's always setting things up, even when it seems like He's not being super active in what's going on. It may not appear to us that he's doing work. But he may be doing that on purpose. He may want you to think that he's not working things out the right way, just to test your faith, to see how your faith is, to make you realize how your faith is, so that maybe you realize that it's time for you that you maybe need to grow a little bit in your faith and understand what the Lord can do in your life if you just trust in Him. And another thing, don't turn away during those times that it may appear that He's not there. He is still there, no matter if it feels like He is or not. Amen. He is still there, and if you just have faith through it all, He's going to make it all work out, and then your faith will grow from that, and you'll be a better person, and the next time that situation comes around, your faith will be stronger, and it'll be a lot easier for you. And then when we're asking for God's help, maybe in those situations, we should be totally humble and selfless, not thinking about ourselves and thinking about what we can do to get through that situation. I totally rely on Him, and it'll be so much easier. I know it's tough, but if we rely on Him, it'll all work out. So, if you're going through something and you just want to tell God that you're putting your faith in Him, maybe the altar is open for that. Maybe it's been a while and you're going through something, and maybe you've been trying to get through it your own way. Maybe tonight might be the night that you just want to say, Lord, I just want to give this to you finally. I just want to stop trying to rely on my own way. And I just wanted to come to the altar and tell you humbly, as in the end of that verse it says, that their soul was bowed down to the dust and their belly cleaveth to the earth. So they were just, maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and just be completely humble and say, the Lord, I'm giving this all to you. Or maybe you've never completely thanked the Lord for something that he's done in your life. Maybe he did something really great for you, and maybe you just never were totally humble and really came to the altar and said, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you did for me. I didn't deserve it. Just as like we didn't deserve the cross, but he did it for us anyways. Maybe that's something you want to thank him for tonight. No matter what it is, or if you're here tonight and you've never really got to experience, you're hearing these things, you hear how great God can be through testimonies tonight and maybe something that I've said, you hear how great God can be. Maybe you've never given your heart to him or given your life to him, and you want that same God to be the head over your life. You want to be able to put your faith in him. So that he can guide you and that he can allow things to work out the way that he wants them to in your life. And your life will be a lot more smooth and happy because of that. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord. So if that's you tonight, the altar is open for that as well. So no matter what it is, if you just want to come to the altar, be totally humble, thank him for what he's done, or ask him for help in a situation, the altar is open for that tonight. So if everyone would stand. Come if you need to.
114.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there.
Services for me. I'm sure you guys have enjoyed it too. Any announcements or any testimonies anyone would like to give at this point?
This week is a VBS for an elementary fifth grade down at 6:30, 8:30. If you're not doing anything this week, come out and help. They can always use more help.
Announcements? Are all hearts and minds free? All right, I'm going to ask Jimmy Kay if he would to dismiss us in prayer.
Heavenly Father,